So hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. This is Turning Towards Life, our weekly practice conversation that you are all so welcome to join us for. Thank you for joining us. We know that you're all over the world and maybe listening to us, as many people do, on a podcast platform of some kind, or maybe you can see us because you found us on our turningtowards.life website, or you stumbled across us on YouTube. And whether you can just hear us or just see us, and whenever in time, I was about to say forward or backwards this year, it can't really be backwards, but anyway, whenever in time you are with us, we are recording this conversation at the very end of August 2025, and we're so glad that you're here with us. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to do exactly what we always do. Lizzie, you've brought us a wonderful and very rich source, some words written by John Burnside, and we have a source every week. And it's like the river that flows into this practice of being present and listening and responding to one another and seeing what arises from bringing our minds and our hearts and our bodies and our attention and our whole lives to bear, and then listening and responding to one another. And I'm very excited about being in this conversation. And just to say to all of you who are with us, we've been saying for some weeks now that we are shortly about to begin an opportunity where you can join us live for this kind of practice. It's called Turning Towards Life Live. It's once a month. The first season is 6 months long. It begins at 6 p.m. UK time on the 10th of September 2025, and there's still time to ask us about it and to join us if you want. So you can find out all the details at turningtowards.life/live, or come to turningtowards.life, where you can also sign up to our email. You can support us in various ways. You can also get in contact with us there. And we're gathering a really lovely group for this first season, and I'm feeling very excited about it, Lizzie. And the doors are wide open for any of you who might be interested in joining us. And hello, Lizzie. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Justin. Hello, everybody. And it's a great joy to be bringing the source today. This is one, Justin, where I read it and felt so moved and had zero kind of cognitive response to it. So I'm bringing it in the spirit of learning and wondering and experimenting with whether I have any language at all for the feeling that it evokes in me. But as I know, every time we do this, we sit here, and because of the kind of attention that we pay with one another and the listening that's here, it occurs to me way differently here with you reading it to me and me reading it to you than it does me reading it and bringing it as a source. So I have total faith in the moment understanding and feeling and learning that's here for us. So, Of Gravity and Light by John Burnside. What we need most, we learn from the menial tasks. The novice raking sand in Buddhist texts or sweeping leaves, his hands chilled to the bone, while understanding hovers out of reach. The changeling in a folktale chopping logs poised at the dizzy edge of transformation. And everything they do is gravity. Swaying above the darkness of the well to haul the bucket in, guiding the broom, finding the body's kinship with the earth beneath their feet, the lattice of a world where nothing turns or stands outside the hole. And when the insight comes, they carry on with what's at hand, the gravel path, the fire, knowing the soul is no more difficult than water, or the fig tree by the well that stood for decades, barren and inert, till every branch was answered in the stars.
Thank you, Lizzie. So, as I read, you may want to do what I was just doing, which is putting everything down and pausing and closing my eyes so I could receive the words. I noticed, Lizzie, I was looking at you at the start and could feel how different it was just to let the words reach me. And I think there's something about this practice that we're doing, that is also about allowing ourselves to be reached, actually, by one another and by whatever it is that's in ourselves, and of course by these words. So this is Of Gravity and Light by John Burnside. What we need most, we learn from the menial tasks. The novice raking sand in Buddhist texts, or sweeping leaves, his hands chilled to the bone, while understanding hovers out of reach. The changeling in a folk tale chopping logs, poised at the dizzy edge of transformation. And everything they do is gravity. Swaying above the darkness of the well to haul the bucket in, guiding the broom, finding the body's kinship with the earth beneath their feet, the lattice of a world where nothing turns or stands outside the whole. And when the insight comes, they carry on with what's at hand, the gravel path, the fire, knowing the soul is no more difficult than water or the fig tree by the well that stood for decades barren and inert, till every branch was answered in the stars.
Thank you, Justin. There seems so many threads to pull on here, and I think my first most dangly one to pull on is this thing about this menialness and the learningness, and how many times it feels like something is calling to me, but I don't know what it is. And somehow menial tasks are the place where things arrive. And then once they've arrived, it's not like going into the street and shouting Eureka or something is appropriate, because just carrying on is appropriate. Maybe because of the nature of what lands. But it's like, I don't know if you have this as well, Justin, but so many times I'll be really trying to think of something, or to let something land in me, or to understand something, or to reflect on something, and something slightly out of view, and I'm trying to see it. And it will arrive in a place where there's no efforting at all. Like I'm washing my hair or cleaning my teeth or doing the dishwasher or finding something in the fridge or something. So I'm really receiving this beautiful wondering about the menial. And there's so many ways I can kind of poo-poo the menial and think, oh, I've got to get through this to get to that or something. But the menial seems to have, and by menial I mean ordinariness, really, just ordinary everydayness. In the ordinary everydayness, which is not a destination, it's not shiny, and although it is, but you know, it doesn't have all of the kind of the glimmer of all of the kind of bigger narratives that we live in of success and grandeur and fame and the things. And inside of that, it feels like there is untold beautiful gifts that come, and that also bring kind of deep humility at each point of learning as well, of like, oh yes, the thing to do is just to carry on the thing that I'm doing. I don't need to run to another land or change my life, or, but now everything's different and I'm just going to carry on doing the thing I was doing.
Yeah, I wanted to say I agree with you, like I'm with you on this. There's much more to say. You know, when you were talking, Lizzie, about the something that's just out of view. And I think, so for all kinds of reasons, I grew up learning, as many of us do, and as I think as our culture has broadly taught us, that thinking is the thing, like elevating thinking. And I'm really good at one kind of thinking, and it carried me a long way because I was good at it and our culture rewards it. And I was thinking when I was at school, you know, I could think in all the ways that I was meant to think that got rewarded by. And there's value. There are times for that. There's no doubt there's times for that kind of thinking. But I suppose one of the costs of it for me as someone who can think in that way is the trap of thinking all the time. Like overthinking, analyzing all the time. And I, you know, I think our habits, like what we practice, particularly what we practice early on, carries with us unless we interrupt it in some way, unless there's a call to interrupt it. And it's really easy for me to think a lot. And instead of doing what John Burnside is suggesting, or maybe even while doing what John Burnside is talking about, raking sand or sweeping leaves, I'm also thinking. And very often my thinking, Lizzie, is generated by some kind of fear or anxiety. That's the root of it. Oh, I've got to think this through. And if I think about it enough, I'll understand it. And like I said, for some things, yes. But it struck me whilst you were talking that we're sort of strangers to ourselves in the sense that there's something I know about myself that I can sort of point to and goes, this is the me that's thinking that I know is me. But actually more and more, I think that's tiny, tiny part of me. And below that, there's this huge, vast mystery, some of which is really personal. It's just me. And some of which is the vast mystery of being a human. It's the something that's the same as you are and the same as everyone else we know is. And then below that is the vast mystery of being a mammal, and below that is the vast mystery of being a life itself. And on top of that is my little thinking something that's sometimes very, very useful. But I can get so identified with that thinking something, I think that that is me. And actually, there's two consequences for that. One is, I just, when I'm like that, I'm out of touch with all the things you were just talking about. The great sort of depths that arise if I just get on with the tasks of the day. And I've been finding more recently, exactly as you said and exactly as John Burnside said, that if I'll let my thinking soften or not be so invested in it, even if it's going on, and have some part of my life, actually quite some significant part of my life, where I'm raking the garden or sweeping the leaves or washing the dishes, or as I've been doing more recently, just walking, putting one foot in front of the other, then, well, what to say? I want to say then, dot, 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 and then not put too many words to it, but something like, every branch answered in the stars. Which doesn't mean I know the right answer to things. What it means is, I suppose what I mean to say is, life presents itself with its depth and mystery and wonder. And also I very often find out what and who I care about, what to be committed to, what's called for, in a way that's very different to what's produced by my looping around in fearful, trying to solve my fear, trying not to feel afraid, going round and round and round, working stuff out.
And you saying this, Justin, is reminding me of the line, the lattice of a world where nothing turns or stands outside the whole. there's also like an inclusion part of it, which where they both kind of belong together, which is the kind of noticing our patterns and realizing that there are ways of being that invite, like you said, moments of realizing what's important to me and what I means something, or a piece of self-awareness that lands or something. And I'm absolutely all for that. And I think the thing I always need to remember in amongst that kind of really important inner work, I would call it, you know, inner loving of life to be here fully, is that your little triangle at the top of the triangle of thinking, it doesn't get excluded or something. It doesn't get pushed to the side or told that it's not important. And as you were saying, we've just got it all a bit topsy-turvy, that that got lauded as like the best thing in the universe or something when we were at school and in the world at large. And so yes, I feel like a different kind of inclusion is also needed, that that's not the only way to be in the world. And all of us have different talents that may or may not fit the cultural norm. And how do we turn towards ourselves and each other to go, well, who are you, rather than who should you be and how do I make you into that? But who are you? And I'm really enjoying that right next to this world where nothing stands outside the whole. Like both of those things really matter. And I love that we don't have to choose. We don't have to choose whether to do our inner work or whether to include everything just as it is, that they can both be right here. And the fact that John Burnside could write this mysterious beauty with evocative, beautiful metaphorical references and have it be discombobulating at the same time as comforting. And it's really clear that human beings are extraordinary. You know, I think that's one of the things I love about the sources that we bring, is that it points to the subject matter, of course, but it also points to the kind of beings that we all are and what the possibilities of us are to be able to craft things that respond to and provoke our inner world to respond. Yeah, I'm just kind of really hit by the mystery of us and how this menial stopping ordinariness, putting one foot in front of the otherness, holding the rake in our hand and feeling the connection with the earth, whatever that is for each of us, how important that is, because it also honors the mystery that we are. It pays attention to the kind of the deep unknown of what even it is to be a being and to be here and receive the mystery through our own being human.
It's occurring to me as you're talking, Lizzie, and as I'm taking in John Burnside's words, that among other things, this is also a poem about belonging, about belonging to our lives and belonging to the world. And I'm really with you on the inclusion part. So if any part of what I said sounded like I was saying thinking is bad and somehow doing the dishes is better or something, you know, and you reflected back very clearly, that's not. It all belongs. And the difficulty we get into is when we unbelong parts of ourselves or aspects of ourselves, or we unbelong ourselves from the world. And one of the perils of only belonging thinking and insight and working things out, which, like I said, thank goodness we can work things out. I'm so pleased we can work things out. You know, the world is much better because we can. But I think one of the perils of it is that we lose contact with, I suddenly got struck by this middle verse, everything they do is gravity. Like when we allow ourselves to really feel ourselves held in the physicality of our lives, finding the body's kinship with the earth beneath their feet, So I'm sure I'm not the only person, I'm sure not everybody feels this way, but I'm sure I'm not the only person who has had and sometimes has periods in my life where often it often comes with my overthinking that I feel like I'm not of the world. I'm sort of hovering outside it, trying to work it out so I can get my way in. John Burnside says, rake the sand, sweep the leaves, walk, let yourself feel your body's kinship with the earth. The language of the poem is there, but it could be your. Find your body's kinship with the earth beneath your feet. The lattice of a world where nothing turns or stands outside the whole. So that's us too. Everything.
Yes.
This vast mystery that we are and everything that we're in the midst of, which most of which we can't hope to understand fully, we get glimpses of. And because we don't understand it, we can't put it in language, we can't work it out. Sometimes we can feel very outside it. And this is about letting ourselves land and be right in the midst of our lives.
Yeah.
The topic we're taking up in Turning Towards Life Live as we begin next month will be belonging. And there's lots of ways of thinking about what belonging is. It could be feeling like belonging in a group or belonging in the place you live or something. This what I want to say, it's sort of fashionable in some circles to say, get out of your head and into your body. And I never want to say that. I want to say, I want to ask, what does it take to allow ourselves to feel our full belonging in this universe we're in the midst of, all of us, and to notice that there are ways we keep ourselves away, like we're hovering outside, and there are ways we can allow ourselves to fall into our lives. And that very often falling into our lives, maybe that I didn't know John Burnside and I know nothing about his life, but maybe sometimes we have to write these things to remind ourselves. You know, I sort of wonder if this is a poem of remembering what we forget, which is that right from the moment we arrived, we belonged here. Mm-hmm. Our bodies belonged here, our minds belonged here, our hearts belonged here. Nothing of us turns or stands outside the whole.
I'm feeling this wondrousness of we belong on the earth. Like if we didn't, how would we be here? Like somehow we come here, we get born, and the earth has what it needs to sustain us, and we have what we need, even though we're not using it right now very well, to sustain the earth. Like there's a relationship which of course kind of points to belonging. We have a place here. Each of us has a place here. I don't think that is a very normal, weirdly, in this moment, feels very weird. That's not a normal message to receive. But it's true that each of us, this is our home. This is our place where our feet, gravity holds our feet onto the floor. That's how much we belong. So there's a thing called gravity that means we don't fly off. And of course, that's the kind of macro level that we belong on the earth. And then all these smaller and smaller circles of ways that we can belong in the world. And some of us experience belonging really straightforwardly, and other people have different experiences of being able to belong. And I'm just struck by this central, because I guess that maybe the origins is that we do have a relationship with the earth as a human being, that we belong here, that belonging then extrapolates into every piece of life, whether I belong in my home, whether I belong at my work, whether I belong in wider society, in my street, in my local community hall, it really matters. It really matters. And what, and then I'm thinking, well, what makes belonging, what turns us into people who either belong or feel like we don't belong? And how do we participate in that in whatever small or big ways that we find? And to look at the world and to look at all of the people that I know through the lens of belonging, of like, what is everybody up to in the realm of belonging, is such a beautiful inquiry. To look at people and wonder how much of a sense of belonging they're creating by the way of being that they have. And then, and of course, to feel in my own life, what am I doing that creates belonging and what am I doing that creates unbelonging in any moment, on a big scale, on a small scale? And what a central human need it is to feel like we belong. And what are we all up to? How do we create that day to day? And what do we, where do we invest our time and our money and our resources that central theme of humanness is, that's the world we're making.
I'm thinking about how much it matters that everything in us and everything around us gets recognized and met and given a place. And how what's in us when we won't recognize what's in us and acknowledge it and know that it has a right to be there, which doesn't mean everything in us should be in charge of everything we do by any means. But for example, when we're willing, we've been talking about lots of things. We've been talking about body, for example. When we're willing to acknowledge our bodies and their perfectness for us, you know, and we live in a culture which will tell all of us lots of things about our bodies and how they ought to be different to how they are. But here I am, Lizzie, in whatever shape my body is and whatever range of movement it allows me and whatever pains or whatever it has, here it is, it allows me to be here with you. It isn't even the right word. And if I can include that of me that causes harm and hurt and hate and rage, you know, that of me that judges and excludes, as well as all that which I, you know, judge more favorably in myself, I've got a much, much better chance of belonging and bringing myself fully. Right. And if I can, there's this huge upswelling in the world at the moment of dividing ourselves from one another, dividing ourselves into the good people and the bad people and the, you know, and they're pushing one another away rather than finding a way to include, which does not mean agree, or it means giving everybody a rightful place to be in the conversation. And if we can, and then looping back to what you were just saying, humans are amazing, and we're quite prone to excluding, to forgetting, to do this, like forgetting the earth and forgetting the, I'm so taken by this line, finding the body's kinship with the earth. I think maybe because you have this experience that I can't have, that you've had the experience of giving birth to children, which I can never have. And I've been present for the birth of children. But actually what I'm thinking about is none of us remember our own birth. And so we sort of somehow, at some point, we sort of wake up into being here. Oh, I'm, you know, here I am. And we forget that we got born out of the body of another person and that the earth made all of our bodies. So in a way, it's not surprising that we sort of feel separated. We don't feel our kinship. We don't feel our belonging. We don't feel our nothing that we can, we feel like we stand outside the whole, but nothing ever turns or stands outside the whole. Mm. And maybe it's no wonder we sort of get into the kind of conundrums that we get into of excluding or ignoring parts of ourselves, one another, our loved ones, the far away ones that we agree with and disagree with, the world, our bodies. Maybe it's no wonder.
Mm.
And thank goodness that it is possible for us to remind ourselves, actually sometimes with 15 lines of a poem and a conversation with another person, and allowing ourselves to really feel it rather than talk about it in some abstract way, as I'm doing now. Gosh, Lizzie, I belong here and have a right to be here, and so do you, and I see you.
Mm.
And I see me. And thank goodness.
Mm.
I feel so invited into that kind of belonging, not the kind of belonging that needs me, you know, it's not the kind of belonging that needs me to go and introduce myself to someone I don't know, great as that is. And it's the sort of remembering that line, nothing turns or stands outside the whole, nothing.
Yeah.
Not even you or me.
Mm. I'm really moved as well, Justin, by, like, I can feel the lineage of belonging too. Like you said, when a baby arrives and they like, ooh, I'm landed in some body and I'm here. And then the world, the human systems, the social world teaches them about belonging by being the belonging kind of itself that it is, and how each of us are potentially the possibility of showing one another what belonging feels like and what it looks like. And I'm, you know, we've talked about power so many times, and I feel like this is one of the great human powers, is to be someone who shows another that they belong, just by one small something of being human. That is a great power that we have, so we could, I could say to you, and I could be with you in a way that says you belong here, and that could really be a big thing for you in your life. So I'm just sitting with that and feeling the potential and possibility of all of us being the kind of beings that invite the sense of belonging in one another, and what that would mean in the world.
Last thing for me to say. I think it's why walking together, washing the dishes together, sweeping the house or the yard together, John Burnside's reminder of what comes when we'll let ourselves do that comes when we do it together as well. And it's a way that we can know the soul is no more difficult than water, and have every branch answered in the stars. I just want to make a case for that together, which is very, very different set of activities from doom scrolling on a social media feed, or ranting in a, you know, comments, or on social media, or consuming. I mean, all of these things have their place, but I'm naming something that I actually really want us never to forget, us humans. Mm. We sort of are at some risk of forgetting at the moment that having our bodies together and doing the stuff, remembering together how we belong on this earth and belong together, really, really matters.
Yeah, it does. Thank you, Justin. Such a beautiful source and conversation, and meandering into it and finding language where it's hard to find language. Thank you. And thank you everyone for being with us and wandering in this experience yourself. And we would so love it if you would reach out to us, hello@turningtowards.life. We'd love it if you joined us for Turning Towards Life Live. Check out the website, turningtowards.life, if you want to find out more. And we will be back here next week with a source from Justin.
Thanks, Lizzie. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.